Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Gameable Audio, your VMG podcast. And I am your host, Kristoffer Schenström, and this is episode 20, where I'm going to talk and we're going to listen to music from puzzle games. And for me, I kind of grew up a little bit with puzzle games. I really loved and adore the Adventures of Lolo series. I, of course, picked one track from one of these games. But there's still a lot of other games that I really loved and adored, especially those early on Sokoban styled games. Because they were kind of easy to create, I guess, comparing to other type of puzzle games. There are still a lot of different variations of puzzle games, etc. And we're going to talk a little bit about the different versions there is. But yeah, we're going to go in a chronological order. So starting with kind of the first out of these four titles. First, basically. So we're starting out with the ending theme from the game Adventures of Lolo 2. And there we have it, the ending theme from The Adventures of Lolo 2. And yeah, I freakishly adore just the track, but definitely adore this game even more. Of course, it's just filled with this Sokoban-like puzzles. You need to push around things, you need to shoot and turn enemies to eggs, and avoid dagger-throwing stones and monsters and so on. There's a lot of different mechanics in this game that you kind of need to figure out and learn and utilize in order to kind of convey and in the end succeed these puzzles. And there's not just like 10 or 20 levels in this game. It's pretty hefty amount of levels. So you get a lot of game out of the Adventures of Lolo games. And I freakishly adore these, and I love the music even more. There's not a lot of tracks for these games, just to have that said. There's almost like 5, maybe 6 tracks in each game. So you will be listening to these tracks a lot of times. But they're really nice, they're really neat. Even though it's a puzzle game, you kind of want to be in your own mind, trying to understand the puzzles. They kind of do go right in the middle, and it's just really good in my opinion. So looking for the composer here, the handful of tracks that this game does have was composed by the Japanese Hideki Kanasashi. The game here was developed by the Japanese studio HAL Laboratory, which I guess a lot of us remember is the studio that also made the Kirby games. And when it comes to Adventures of Lolo 2, it was released on the NES in 1990, and the game was later released as a digital download version for the virtual consoles that were released on Wii in 2007, and later on both Nintendo 3DS and Wii U in 2014. And a little trivia considering the Lolo games, the games was actually not named the Adventures of Lolo in the beginning, as they were first named Eggerland, and this was in Japan. And, well, as many know, this game, we are more well-versed than when the game is named The Adventures of Lolo. But that's because, well, we live in the West. But there is one exception for this, as Eggerland Mystery for the MSX was actually released in 1987. So, it's just super interesting. For me, the first time I kind of got into Eggerland as a name was actually while listening to another podcast, and they were talking about, I think it was Kirby first, but it was close in connection to the Adventure of Lolo as well, but not the games, but the characters of Lolo and Lala. And this is due to the fact that they are actually an active enemy of Kirby in the first game. If I remember, it was even the second game as well. I'm a little bit unsure right now, but definitely in the first game. And I was personally, I was so happy when I noticed this. Of course, I already knew it, but it was so much fun seeing a character that was a main protagonist for me. So it was super fun in that sense to see them as a protagonist, as an antagonist instead, being the boss within the game. For me, I love both of the characters. I definitely love Lolo way more than I do with Kirby, even though Kirby is super cute and sugar sweet. But for me, Lolo has always had a special place in my heart. I was playing this early on, not on my own NES. I was actually a couple of friends to the family that had a Nintendo where I was able to play this game on. And every time we visited, I always wanted to play The Adventures of Lolo, or it was Tom and Jerry that I wanted to play on that NES. Because usually when we played at home on the NES, which in the beginning we only owned two games. It was Ghouls and Ghosts, and it was Super Mario Brothers, and both of them was really hard. We were going from weekend to weekend at most of the times to actually go and rent some games. From there, we tried a lot of different other titles. I just don't remember. It never really felt like I got that much into the NES. And definitely comparing to what I've been playing until today versus what I played back then, I know I always picked like bad titles and so on. Because it was almost like nothing that kind of stuck with me when it comes to the NES. I didn't play on it that much. It was more fun just renting the games, trying them for a day, maybe two, and then turning them back. But I never re-rented a game again. Not to that I have any memory of, at least, but yeah. So in the end, we decided to just sell the NES and got a Super Nintendo instead. And that's kind of how I went forward with this. And with the Super Nintendo, I really fell in love with both music and with the games. Of course, music was limited for me, but still. But with Adventures of Lolo, amazing game, love. It does have this Sokoban kind of style. You still have a lot of different things and mechanics that is not necessarily Sokoban, but pushing around things and pushing these eggs to place enemies in different places or getting rid of them are a large part of this game. And all the rooms in Adventures of Lolo or all the floors are also one-screen puzzles, so everything you see on the screen is everything you will be needing to interact with in some way in order to collect the items you need and progress onward in the castle. And of course, the story of Lolo is very simple. The evil guy has basically kidnapped your girlfriend, the damsel in distress. And yeah, it conveys onward to the sequel. It was exactly the same in the first game as well. So the evil king has taken Lala from Lolo, and it kind of ends up with them just sitting around watching clouds in the end. It's just cute, man. Simple, yet effective. But when it comes to the composer here, Hideki, he started out making music back in 1984, and then he was starting out with the racing game F1 Race for the NES. He almost exclusively worked with music for the normal 8-bit Nintendo, and had a wide selection of the different games, going from Otello from 1986. We had Air Fortress in 1987. We had Famicom Grand Prix 2, the 3D Hot Rally from 1988, Shanghai in 19 1989. And this Shanghai game was for the Game Boy, so it was one of those that was not on NES. And lastly, the last game that it worked on is Hole in One from 1991, and this was released for the Super Nintendo. I actually owned this game, and I was thinking, like, maybe I should definitely check this out and just listen to the music for this game. Because I have a pretty fine, nice copy with, I'm pretty sure it was with a poster and everything as well. But definitely should check out, since I really love and adore the music from Lolo. So I should definitely check out this golf game to see if I love and adore it as much. So yeah, considering that we're starting out so simplistic, but yet kind of complex at the same time. Simple movements that kind of comes in with complex, with another sort of complexity with the mechanics in Adventures of Lolo, we're going to something that requires a little bit more finesse. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the game Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, which is a super great game, but we will be talking more about it in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to listen to the track Lynn, A Targeted Redhead. When it comes to me, I'm just loving this track. It is so freaking fun and has a lot of personality. Although, of course, this is a character-themed song as well. This is for the character called Lynn, a targeted redhead. She's a detective that kind of ends up in the middle of everything. And, of course, I'm not going to spoil the game. I'm just highly recommended everybody to play this game. So, when it comes to this game, you're basically getting dropped in into a mystery. You're finding yourself dead, not knowing anything, what happened, or anything really. And you can basically go around with your soul corrupting or possessing items in order to move around in the scenes. And you get this kind of, like, moment of change, where you will see what happens within the scene in a real-time scenario. But then time turns back, and your job here is to change fate of the character that is not surviving for some reason. And this is the fun thing, because you're going ghost tricking, hence the name of the game, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. And yeah, it's just bananas. It's just, you're starting to look into a lot of different things within this game. As like, who are you? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you end up like you did? And so on. And you will meet so many different people. You will be in so many different places trying to solve. You will fail over and over again at certain situations. And then you just rewind time and you try it again. Try to optimize, etc. And it's so much fun. It's very playful. This is one of the best puzzle games that I've played in my life. And it still conveys the funness in the sense of logical puzzling. So it's not a lot about, like, oh, what is 1 + 1 and so on. It's basically, oh, if I go to this crane and turn it around, then I will be able to reach other places. Because you don't have unlimited reach with your spirit, or ghost, so to speak. So you need to kind of move around the objects and take control over them. in order to move them around and to reach other places, to jump between these objects. So it's really fun, the music is amazing, and the characters are freaking hilarious from time to time, but you still have a very serious and super interesting story to beat here. But yeah, considering the full soundtrack here was composed by the Japanese Masakazu Sugimori, and the game was developed by the Japanese studio Capcom, which I know everybody have heard of as well. And the game had its initial release on the Nintendo DS back in 2010. However, in the same year, the game was also released on iPhone. And in 2011, the game was also released for iPad. And lastly, in 2012, on Android. And when the Ghost Trick was released on iPhone, I'm pretty sure they released the game in chapters, so you basically were able to play a little bit of the game as a chapter one, but then you needed to open up the rest of the game, but I think they kind of changed that a little bit later to only have a premium. You can still play a little bit, but for one fee, you bought the rest of the game, basically. It was still very suitable for playing on a phone because you have the touch display and you're moving around your spirit with the finger. But for some reason, when it comes to me and playing on my phone, I don't like having my fingers in the way of information that I'm about to take in. So, in my opinion, the game was so much better on the DS, which is where I have the game. I never bought it. I did play it a little bit on my iPhone. But yeah, the game is absolutely amazing on the DS. Of course, you can play it on the 3DS as well, because you do have the DS support from there. So, yeah, definitely a must-have, in my opinion, when it comes if you do own a DS or a 3DS. And yeah, I will not talk more about this composer, because when it comes to this episode and the games that I chose, it was on pure coincidence, games that I recently played or games that I really love from back in the day. But for some reason, the next track we're going to listen to is also made by the same composer. So we're going to listen to Puzzle, the unbeatable duo from the latest game that I played with this composer and puzzling, called Murder by Numbers. And there we have the engaging song Puzzle, the unbeatable duo from the game Murder by Numbers. And the OST here was composed yet again by the amazing Japanese Masakazu Sugimori. I was so way better saying that this time than the last time. And even though I'm doing this myself, I'd rather do this on the real kind of deal instead of making it all perfect, because that would be too, it would feel too weird in some sense, in my opinion. I love when it's more kind of true to itself, to what it is and what it wants to be, and I want this podcast to be as pure as possible, basically. Now, when it comes to this game, it is not developed by Capcom yet again. No. It is, but developed by a British company named Mediatonic. And maybe you heard about them before as well, just like any other company, right? No? But you might know this from their latest, one of their latest games called Fall Guys. That is a super popular battle royale-ish type of game. It's more of a fun Japanese game show. People try to get to the finish line. Anyway, we're not talking about that game. Sorry. When it comes to Murder by Numbers, the game was released on both Nintendo Switch and PC back in 2020. And was then later ported to Stadia in 2021. So when it comes to Murder by Numbers, and not just the story, I can't really talk much about the story, but I can portray the simple start of the story at least. So you're playing this girl, I just don't remember her name, because in the end I kind of just wasn't interesting about, because this game is kind of text heavy. Because it's more like a visual novel type of style. It's still point and click. You're trying to investigate different scenes. And the main characters you're playing is this girl who is an actor. And she's running this show where she and another girl is detectives. And there is a murder on at hand. Hence the name Murder by Numbers. And when this is occurring at the first location, which is close to where you work as an actor. In connection to this, a murder is happening. You don't know what's causing this and what you're supposed to do, but you're meeting this little flying robot, which is just super confused. There is some sort of teasing of what it could be, etc., but you don't really know much about this. So he's just coming up and, well, the robot just wants to help out. And you're noticing, okay, he's just really great at finding and working with investigations. And he's really good at solving and trying to figure out things. And that's where the puzzle part comes in. So you're able to walk from different scenes and you're able to talk to different people. You can present them different evidence that you find by going through and investigating these scenes. So while you go around and investigating the scenes, you will basically utilize this robot and he will use his sight in order to try and find these. So you need to look around in the scene in order to find different objectives that you can interact with. When you interact with something, you have a Picross type of style game. Basically, you will have numbers on the left side and will have numbers on the top side. And these numbers can either be a big number or they can be multiple numbers, like 2, 2, for example. And depending on how hard and easy these puzzles are going to be, so you can theoretically have a full plate of 15 by 15 squares, basically. And if you have 2, 2 shown in one row, that means that you will have two blocks that is 2 in width or height, depending on which lane you're looking at. Somewhere in those 15. And in the end, by figuring out the puzzle, there's also help if you don't feel too smart. Sometimes I've had a really hard time with these and had to use the helps in order to get some suggestions on where to go next or what is wrong with the current setup that I've done. But in the end, you will find an item or something that will get you going onward in the story. These are basically the evidence that you can find, and you present them to different characters, and this will open up new ways of talking to them, etc. And in the end, of course, you will have some sort of picture of what's going on, and that's when you go in and it's like, oh, he did this with that, and so on. So that's when you're going to the part where you're basically going to say, okay, this guy is the killer, or this is what happened. And then story kind of conveys onward through that. And so far, I have still not completed this game. I am currently on the last chapter, unless there's something hidden in this game. But from what I know, there are 4 chapters in this game that is shown in the menu. I've played the first 3. And for me, who just loves that, because it was way too much text for me to kind of enjoy the game. But I'm really enjoying the Picross type of style. I love playing this on my phone, and I really adore just hanging out on my PC, reading chats, and doing this at the same time. So it's a nice game. It's not timed, it's never really timed. There are some situations where you are doing something within the game and you need to be quick about it. But these are not hard puzzles when you do have them. It's just that you need to kind of work faster. But overall in this game, you will have all the time you need in this game. If you don't like it, you can cancel that puzzle and go back to it later in case there are more puzzles to solve. If this is the only one you have in order to progress in the story, then of course you need to try it out. Maybe you can just try it another day, or you can utilize the helping sections in order to figure things out. But I really adore this one. This was actually a game that they had for free on Epic Games not super long ago. So people that did go in on Epic Games and get this one, definitely give it a go and just enjoy the puzzles, because it's super fun. And even though you're not reading all the text, you can still make out everything. You will not really get any minus points or anything by guessing wrong, etc. So give this one a try. I love the music. It's a super fun duo that you're playing with. Even if you just read the bits and pieces, you can still kind of put together the main story, and you can still have a good fun, in my opinion. So when we're going and listening to some information about Masakazu here as well, the composer behind these two games, and it was so much fun because I randomly picked this. Everybody knows I was talking about getting Ghost Trick the first thing I did from the last episode, but yeah, now as I picked some other games that are more close to heart that I played recently, Murder by Numbers was one of those that kind of was like, okay, this is a dead set, I really enjoy this game, it would be fun to talk about it. So when I got this game and then noticed, like, it is the same composer, I got into a dilemma here. It's like, should I pick another game to talk about, or should I just go with it? No, I actually stuck with it for one reason, basically. Both of these games are different. They're also made, well, it's kind of two things then. They're also made by two different companies, one in Japan and one in UK. So that's a fun kind of conveying part as well. And considering that these games have a different kind of pacing, but also a different kind of story and so on, the music itself is portrayed in another way as well. While we have some more hectic and still personality-based themes in Ghost Trick, we're seeing more of just, I would say, a situation-based music in Murder by Numbers. We're depending on what's happening within the between the characters and so on, the music is changing up. But we can also hear a large difference in how we're doing. While Ghost Trick is having more of a jazzy, funky type of style, I would say Murder by Numbers has more of this like happy, upbeat type of style. Still, there are character-based themes, so there may be some changes in it. So it's not just all upbeat and everything all the time. Just so I have that cleared out and said. But yeah, considering the composer, Masakazu started out with video games back in 2001, and this was for the Gyatuken Saiban that was released on GBA, and for us here in the West, it is also known as Phoenix Wright. Don't know if Phoenix Wright is a name we took in the West, or if his actual name is Phoenix Wright within the game of Gyatuken Saiban. But anyway, he also worked on series such as Beautiful Yo, that was released in 2003. He worked on Vanquish, which is a game I have had on my like wish list, but I haven't really bought it yet, even though it's just like 7 euros or something like that. But Vanquish was released in 2010. And lastly, the last game that we do have with Masakazu is Murder by Numbers, that was released in 2020. It is hard to find more information about Masakazu, even though it seems like he worked a little bit here and there. He did also work at Capcom during his earlier years, and he also worked in this sound collective called Design Wave. And this is also something we usually see together with the games that he worked on, his name and Design Wave. But Design Wave was basically this collective of a lot of different artists. And they also worked on music for anime, but from what I could find, I could only find one movie or series that they worked on. So information on either Masakazu or the Design Collective was very limited from what I could see and what I was Googling and trying to find more and more information, because it's so much fun to see somebody work with these type of style games, and especially working on two different type of puzzle games was just super interesting to see. But yeah, it's sad that I didn't find any more information, which, well, it does sadden me, because I would have liked to get more information on Masakazu. So I hope we will get some more information in the future for some reason, if we get an update on anything, etc. But yeah, the last game that I'm going to talk about this week is a mobile game, but also is released on other consoles and so on, but more information on that later. But this one is a very special one, and it is one of my latest finds within the puzzle genre. I am currently playing this on my phone, and I really adore it. It is short, simple, and yet it seems a bit complex, to be honest, but it's very playful. The game I'm talking about is the game Storyteller, and this track that we're going, I almost said song, but song, track, whatever, that we're going to listen to is Isabel and Lenora and The Leavers 2. There we're fading out the last song of the week, Isabel and Nora and Dilibus 2 from the game Storyteller. And this one is a very special type of game, and it kind of comes with a sort of story behind it as well, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. So the full composition of the soundtrack here was by the Argentine Federico Saipsi, I guess. I'm so sorry if you're listening and I'm botching this. It's Z-Y-P-C-E. So Saipsi, I guess, something like that. The game here was developed by a core team of only a total of 3 people, and mainly the Argentine Daniel Bermergui. Then on the art side, we have Jeremiah Davini, and on music, we had Federico. The game here was initially released back in 2011, but when Daniel won, and this is kind of the background story a little bit about this game, when he won one of the industry's most prized awards, and with then what is called his dream project, the Storyteller, however, the game kind of died sooner after that. Don't really know that much specifically about it, but it kind of portrayed to be a much more kind of dream project than he thought of. But in the end, it took 15 years before the game resurfaced again, and this time in a much simpler suit. And this is what we see today with the game. And the game was first available on PC and Nintendo Switch in March this year, 2023, and was later released through Netflix on iOS and Android. And this was happening now in September. And when it comes to this game, it is... yes, like I said, it is a super simple game, because in this game, you're basically making comic strips, and you will have an arsenal that is presented with you. So you will have a topic, you will have the frames where the comic will kind of be conveyed, and you will have the playing pieces that you will need to place around and mix around in order to get the topic. So for example, the topic could be the prince falls in love with the princess. And you will have 3 squares, and in this you will have a scenery, what places up, a background, so to speak. And this could be that the princess meets a princess in the forest. So you will have a forest piece. So you'll drag that forest piece into the first square, And then you will pull both the princess and the prince into that one. And you will notice that they react that, hey, they love each other. Love at first sight. And then in the second one, you could have, for example, a wedding. So you will pull a wedding, a church. And then you will pull both characters into that one, and they will get married. And then in the third one, you can have like an old hut or something like that, and we'll place both of them inside there. And all of a sudden, both of them are old. They've grown old together, for example. But of course, the mechanics is kind of simplistic and everything, and it you can very much just try out all the different things that is possible. It doesn't really get stuck in one way, so you're free to experiment with whatever. So it's very playful in that sense. And considering here Federico, he is a musician and a playwright. He have not created any music to any other game that I could find, at least, but he seems very active within music such as pop and baroque. And he also has a duo together with his sister Isol. And that is also very interesting. And just thinking about the more fantasy-like story of having like a children's story, it is really nice how well the music that he worked on for this game fits so well. And for Daniel, who worked on this game initially in an interview that I will also post with this episode, we can also read that he had his eyes or ears for Federico for a long time, as he really enjoyed the music that he did. As both of them are also in Buenos Aires, there where they both live and develop this game. So it's super nice to see how it kind of conveys and portrays together, and the music fits so well. You have some story with some voice and so on, and you also have simpler with simple story, and it kind of builds up, so you will get more and more windows, you will get more and more complexity with the scenes and the characters, and sometimes you just have something simple that you can complete, but as soon as you complete it, you will get like a subtask on it, so you will get like a bonus score where you can get small crowns and so on. And if you complete these as well, you will get all the extra challenges and so on. The game has about, I think it was 10 chapters, and I've only played like an hour in this game and completed like almost 4 chapters, I think. So it's not a super long game unless the later chapters are way more complex than the beginning ones. But I definitely enjoy this game. For people that do have a Netflix account, can get this game for free as well. Highly recommend it. It's super playful. It is super, super cute with the graphics and everything. So I can only recommend this one. And I don't think I can recommend it enough. So for people that just want a 5-10 minute break with something and just want to work a little bit with their brain, I think Storyteller is a great addition to play with. I don't think it would suit very well for a stream or like you feel like you want a very satisfying gaming experience. This is more of a zen-like type of game that is very playful. And that's where I think this shines. And this is why I think so many people back in the day liked it. Of course, it was a limited amount of games released in 2011 of this kind. And I think that's why he won these awards. And, well, one of the reasons why it kind of disappeared, I think, was it was too complex. It didn't really add up to anywhere and so on. So coming back and resurfacing with it and having it in so much more in a simpler way, this game can reach so many more people just by the looks and how easy it is to play. So yeah, I think this is where it kind of shines the most. So it's not a trial and error type of game. It's more a playful, happy, interesting way where we can easily get into some sort of puzzling experience. So going from a more of a Sokoban with Lolo, we're going to more logical moving around with Ghost Trick. We have Murder by Numbers, which is literally numbers and understanding patterns. We will see only a pattern story recognition in the last game. And I think this kind of conveys how wide puzzling is. Of course, I haven't not even talked about all these other puzzle games that mix together all the different ones to tell a much more wider story, such as 11 Guest, etc. I guess a lot of people know different other puzzle games, so if you do know one that you want to talk about, you should definitely check in and comment on these episodes, because I would love to see if there are some other games out there that people really love and adore that I still haven't played, for example. And I guess that's quite a lot, but I'm so much into puzzle games at the moment in my brain and how I want to work, and I would love to find more. So if you do have one that you really hold dear, definitely should come and recommend it to me, because I would love to play and listen to the soundtracks on these games. But yeah, those were the four games that I wanted to talk about. They're a little bit different. I hope somebody was interested enough to feel like, hey, I should definitely check these out. But anyway, if you do like the games, try to get them and play them, definitely. If you like the music from them, check out and support the composers. And best of all, if you liked this episode, there are more to get, if unless you already listened to everything. Then there will be more soon. But other episodes of Gameable Audio, you'll find those on our homepage, videospelsklubben.se. You can also find the episodes on Spotify or in your closest podcast app. And also, feel free to comment. As I said, I love to discuss a little bit more with you guys, the listeners. So feel free to follow and comment on one or both of our social medias, either on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio and you'll find me there. You can also support this podcast for future content and quality upgrades, but also in the end, we're going to focus on giving back to the ones we love and adore, the composers. So think about becoming a Patreon. The current backers that we do have today is Daniel Lonemark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being such an amazing part to support me and my work with this free podcast. Links to where you can either buy or support the composers behind the music that we'll listen to today, you'll find those in our main post at videospelsklubben.se. And the next episode, we're going to do a little bit of a special again. It's been a while since I did one of these, as I notice as I'm going through, like, oh, what have I done with Gameable Audio? No, I need to go back to the root a little bit. But we're going to have a little bit of a special in November as well, but I will take that as we get into the next episode. But the next episode is going to be surrounding a composer, and the composer that we're going to take a look at is Camille Chouel. And I'm just super excited to look a little bit more from the games that I've looked into. It is a little bit less, so it looks like he's a kind of a new person within the sphere of making VGM. But the games that he worked on is just amazing, in my opinion. So I'm just super excited to dig a little bit deeper on this one. But yeah, and also the podcast theme music was also composed by the amazing Thor Myrdal. So yeah, thank you so much. And with that said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and that you will have a good time, play a lot of games, listen to a lot of VGM music out there. And as always, do take care and see you all guys next time.